Morning. It's good to be able to come together this morning to worship God, and I'm glad that you're here. We appreciate your presence, and I hope that our time spent worshiping God this morning will be encouraging. If you'll keep your Bibles open there to the scripture reading in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to be looking at this passage more in detail. The elders recently have asked me to do a lesson on judging others. And so this morning we're going to answer the question, is it wrong to judge others? And this matter of judgment and judging others, because it comes from this text, Matthew chapter 7, we want to spend some time here and other places in the Word of God. And I hope by the end of this lesson, we will be very clear on what the Bible teaches about judging. I can't think of a more abused or misused Bible passage than Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. And so I hope this morning, in spending some time looking at it, we will have a better understanding of what the Bible teaches about this matter. So to just go ahead and answer the question, is it wrong to judge others? No, it is not. It is not wrong to judge others. Jesus is condemning a particular kind of judgment here, but he's not condemning all judgment. You have probably heard this before in your life. It's very common where people will quote Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. They know very little about the Bible, but they know about Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And it's often quoted when you are trying to point out something in their life that needs to be corrected. Sometimes it happens if you're talking with religious people in various denominations. Sometimes it happens when you're talking with people about personal habits in their life, a personal lifestyle or habit. Sometimes it happens often when it's dealing with a marriage or a divorce or remarriage or homosexuality or something like that, some habit that they have in their life. You'll be talking with them about that and they'll say, judge not, lest you be judged. So it's very common. And because it's very common, and because this passage of Scripture is often abused and misused, we need to spend some time in the Word of God, and we need, as brethren, to make sure we understand what the Bible teaches, and we also need to be prepared with a good answer or a good response when that is said to us. A lot of times it'll be said at work or at school, or a family member or a friend or neighbor or somebody will say, judge not, lest you be judged. One of the most common expressions today, only God can judge me. Maybe you've heard this before. I'm going to mention here at the beginning of the lesson several common expressions that I've seen and heard throughout my life, and this is a common one. Only God can judge me. So again, you're trying to help somebody and you're trying to bring up some matter that would help their life. Well, only God can judge me. I've heard something like, why are you always condemning others? The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged. I've heard this. It's people like you that give the church a bad name. You're always judging others. I've heard this. You have a right to your opinion, but keep it to yourself. I've heard this, or seen this. Either love me or leave me alone. That's a popular one. Of course, judge not, lest you be judged, is a popular one. Another one is, my God will judge me, not you. That's a common one. If you don't know me, don't judge me. Or something similar, don't judge me when you don't know my story. It's a common one. Okay? These things, brethren and friends, are often said by individuals simply to keep them from having to change something in their life. That's just really what it boils down to. And I'm not trying to be mean or ugly or cruel, but that's really what it boils down to. There's something in my life that needs to be changed to bring it in conformity to God's Word and God's will, and I don't want to do that, and so my quick pat fallback answer is, judge not, lest you be judged. The problem is, one day God will indeed judge us. And there's no argument here. God is going to judge me. There's no argument there. But the problem is, we're going to stay in our life that needs to be changed. We're going to stay in that life all the way until the judgment day. And when he does judge us in the judgment day, we're in big trouble. There's no argument for me that God's going to judge us. There's no argument there. But are we ready to stand before him in judgment? So, it's very important to make sure that we understand what the Word of God says. I find it interesting sometimes that when people say, "Don't judge me," at the very moment they say that, they're making a judgment. Have you ever thought about that? Don't judge me. That's a judgment right there. They're guilty of the very thing they're committing. My father, as I was a lot younger and preaching and just different things in my life, we would have Bible studies together, and you know, he would always have these little words of wisdom, you know, driving in the car or visiting at the house. And one thing he taught me many, many years ago, he said, "Chris, listen to what people are saying. They will often be guilty of the very thing they're condemning you of." And I'm so glad he mentioned that, because that happens all day long. Y'all have seen that. Sometimes someone will say, "Well, you shouldn't bind your opinion on me." Well, is that your opinion? Are you binding that on me? What you just said, are you binding that on me? It's wrong to argue. Well, are you arguing that point? Are you arguing with me about it's wrong to argue? People do that all the time. And so, "Don't judge me." Well, wait a minute, friend. You just made a judgment. So what happens is, we're not informed, we're not thinking clearly, we don't have our thinking caps on, and so the world just teaches you to just kind of say some stuff, but you don't really have to think about it, if it's logical or rational or reasonable. So, this morning we want to see what the Word of God says about this matter. The other thing that's kind of interesting about this is, the person who says, "Don't judge me," or "Judge not, lest you be judged." Do you know that all throughout the day and all throughout the week, they make judgments? They make judgments all the time. They make judgments all the time. They're driving down Warfield Boulevard or Wilmer Rudolph, and somebody flies past them. "Well, look at that speeder. There goes a speeder." "Well, wait a minute. You just judged that guy as a speeder. You can't do that." Or if somebody at their workplace steals, they'll say, "Honey, today somebody... we caught somebody being a thief today." "Well, wait a minute. You just judged them as a thief. You just judged them as a speeder. You just judged someone as a lawbreaker." They do it all the time. They make judgments all the time, all day long. But you're not allowed to judge them. So again, put on our thinking caps and think some of these things through. So the Bible speaks of judging about 100 times. I'm just talking about the New Testament. About 100 times the Bible talks about judging others. That's a lot of times. And not to mention the use of the word judgment, which is about 84 times. We're talking about a lot of times in the Scripture that judging is talked about. And so let us learn what the Scripture says about that. So this morning, let's look at the subject of judging. I want to begin this morning by looking at four different kinds of unrighteous judgment, the wrong kind of judgment. There is a wrong kind of judgment. And I want to talk about four areas in which someone can engage in a judging of others that is wrong and should not be engaged in. Number one, the one that Jesus mentions right here in Matthew chapter 7, let's look at it. The first one that Jesus talks about is hypocritical judgment. This is where you are judging someone by a standard that you're not even applying to yourself. That's hypocritical. Let's look at the text again that E.J. had. "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, most of the world and some in the religious world and even some brethren will read verse 1, but they won't even take time to read the other 5 verses or 4 verses. We talked recently, last Sunday, about Bible study and how to do Bible study. It is very, very irresponsible of anybody to read a Bible verse and not read the rest of the thought. That is completely irresponsible. And we would have a fit if somebody did that, if we texted somebody, and that text on our phone that we're sending to somebody else had about maybe 15 sentences in it, or 10 sentences. We would have a fit if somebody read the first sentence and then ran off and did something with it. We'd have a fit. Or if we sent somebody an email and it had several sentences in it, they read the first sentence and ran with it and did, you're like, you didn't even read my whole text. You didn't even read my whole email. We would have a fit. And yet people do that with the Bible all the time. At least read the other four verses to find out what kind of judgment Jesus is saying don't do. That's only fair. Jesus is talking about hypocritical judgment. Consider the passage. Consider the context. Jesus is not forbidding all kinds of judgment. He's forbidding a certain kind. Well, how do we know that? Well, verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you." Whatever standard you're using for somebody else, God's going to use that same standard on you. And then he gets into the particulars about what's going on here. Somebody is trying to find the speck in somebody else's eye, but they're not even considering the beam or the log that is in their own eye. They're trying to point out a problem in somebody else's life, but they've got even bigger problems in their own life. Jesus is saying, that's the kind of judgment that I don't want you to do. It's a certain kind of judgment. It's hypocritical. In fact, look at verse 5. "You hypocrite." He even calls it hypocritical judgment. Okay? This is the spirit that sees faults in others but overlooks them in their own selves. This is hypocritical. When we apply to others what we won't apply to ourselves, or when we try to get a speck out of somebody else's eye and we've got a big log in our own eye. So the first thing is, at least read the rest of the thought and you'll find out that it's a particular kind of judgment that is wrong. Hypocritical judgment. In the second place, look at the end of verse 5. If we would just read the whole thing, we would realize, wait a minute. Jesus is actually wanting us to do some judgment in the very place where people quote and say you're not supposed to do it. Look at the last part of verse 5. "Then you shall see clearly to cast out the speck out of your brother's eye." I want you to get the speck out of your brother's eye. After you get the beam out of your own eye, just read the rest of the passage. I don't want you to do hypocritical judgment. But I do want you to judge and get people's lives straight, but you've got to get your life straight first. Then you will see clearly. That implies you're going to have to do some judgment. The last part of verse 5 implies that there is a proper way to judge others. Not only that, but look at the very next verse. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 implies that there's going to have to be some judgment. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." Well, who are the dogs? You're going to have to make some judgment about that. He's not talking about physical dogs. When he talks about dogs and swine, he's not talking about literal animals. He's talking about people that are not worthy of the good that you're giving them. You can't just keep cramming down their throat what they don't want. Well, you're going to have to make a judgment about that. Is this person unworthy of something that's holy? You're going to have to make a judgment about that. In the very passage where people are trying to use it to say, don't judge anybody, Jesus is actually saying you do need to judge some things. Just make sure that it's not hypocritical. Jesus is not forbidding all kinds of judgment. He's forbidding only a certain kind of judgment, hypocritical judgment. And you know what? When somebody says, "Judge not lest you be judged," I almost want to respond, "Don't take a passage out of context lest you be like the devil." That's what he does. And that's what he did in Matthew chapter 4. He took a passage out of context. We don't need to take passages out of context. So Matthew 7:1 is forbidding a certain kind of judgment. Listen carefully. As long as we're not engaged in that kind of judgment, then we can make judgments. Here's a second kind of judgment that is unrighteous. Turn with me to John chapter 8 and verse 12. The Jews were making some judgments about Jesus that were inaccurate. They were judging Jesus based upon his humanity only. They were making judgments about Jesus based upon what they saw in his human form. They would not consider that he was also God and that he was eternal. And later in the chapter, chapter 8, he even says, "Before Abraham was, I am." They were inaccurate in their judgment. Verse 15, "You judge after the flesh, I judge no man." Now again, somebody could take the latter part of verse 15 out of context, but he's saying, I don't judge men like you judge them. You judge men after the flesh, meaning what you just know based upon your fleshly relationship with them. It's inaccurate. There's more to Jesus than him just being a man. Inaccurate judgment is wrong. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:1 through 5 that I'm not judged by other people. I don't even judge myself, he says. Again, all of those verses could be taken out of context. But he's saying the accurate judgment comes from Christ, not necessarily individuals or even myself. Inaccurate judgment is being discussed here. Number 3, unnecessary judgments. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. When you're talking about judging someone based upon a personal opinion or scruple that you have, we're not supposed to do that. If I have a particular opinion about my favorite ice cream and Jeff is over here, he's not eating that ice cream. You shouldn't eat your ice cream. Well, it's my opinion that something else, some other kind of ice cream is better. I have a scruple or opinion about something. I'm not supposed to judge other people. It's in the context of opinions. Okay? So, verse 3. Let not him that eats set at naught him that eats not, and let not him that eats not judge him that eats. Let him that eats not, judge him that eats. Okay? I have a scruple that I can't eat meat. That's fine. I'm not supposed to judge the person who can eat meat. So chapter 14, also 1 Corinthians 10:29, it's in the context of judgments about opinions. I'm not supposed to engage in that. And then turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. I'm not supposed to make judgments about people and make them do things if it's based on the old law. The old law has passed away. So I can't judge someone and say, well, you're not engaged in certain feast days, or the new moon, or a Sabbath day. Let no man therefore judge you. It's in a specific context. What? In meat or drink, or in respect of a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. What is that, Paul? Back up to verse 14. It's the old law that's been nailed to the cross. You got to go back to the context. That old law that's been nailed to the cross, someone cannot bring that old law up and use it to judge you. What was it, Paul? Verse 17, it was a shadow of things to come. The old law pointed forward to Christ, but now it's been done away. So someone can't come along and judge you and make you do those things that were under the old law. So number 3, unnecessary judgments, either in the realm of opinions or the old law. And then last of all, number 4, turn with me to James chapter 2. This is a fourth kind of judgment that is improper, and that is unmerciful judgment. That's judgment where we're making a judgment about somebody and we're not giving them any mercy or grace. We've got this high-handed, hard-handed approach to them, and it's in the context of Christians in the assembly, but in the assembly, when Christians were coming in, some would give preference to those who had more money, and they would give less preference to the poor, which was terrible in the assembly, this prejudicial respect of persons. But in this context of misdoing there's this comment that judgment is without mercy to him that shows no mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. When we make judgments about people, Is there any mercy in that whatsoever? We don't condone sin. We don't ignore sin. But are we merciful maybe in giving people time to change or to learn more or to grow in some area, you see? Or is it, oops, that's it. Well, God may do that with us in the judgment day. There may be judgment without mercy. If we've been a person who just goes around judging things without mercy, it'll come back and bite us in the judgment day. We're going to want mercy in the judgment day. So these are four kinds of unrighteous judgment: hypocritical, inaccurate, unnecessary, and unmerciful. Let's turn now our attention to the right kind of judgment. Is there any room or area whatsoever for proper judging of other people? And the answer is yes. And it starts with God. Now, I'm going to list four areas just like I did for the four unrighteous kinds of judgment. I'm going to list four areas of righteous judgment. And I'm going to save the Christian for the last. These first three areas, I don't think anybody will have a problem with. I don't know if I've ever run into anybody, just especially members of the church, that would have a problem with these first three areas. It gets into when you talk about Christians judging other Christians that people have a question. But let's just look at these first three areas. The first one is divine judgment. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all judge individuals. Okay, the scripture teaches, and Jeff was talking about this several times. He talked about God judging Israel or God judging Judah. Okay. And I don't know if anybody really that has a problem with this. Somebody says, well, God is God. And if he wants to judge somebody, he can judge somebody. Typically, people would admit that God is okay in doing that. Many passages, of course, these are just a few. Many passages in the New Testament that talk about God judging mankind, God judging his creation. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, Romans 2:16, and many, many other Bible passages. Of course, one of the most prevalent concepts there is the judgment day at the end of time when Jesus comes again. But as we're going to see in a minute, God judges even now. But there certainly will be a judgment day. Christ the Son judges. In the book of John, there were several times where we're told that he made judgments about people, being the divine Son of God. He did that. And of course, Acts 17, 30 and 31, in the judgment day, God will use Jesus to be the judge. Okay? So God the Father and God the Son judge individuals. Turn with me to John chapter 16. I did want to explore this one a little bit. The Holy Spirit will judge individuals. Let's see how he will do that, because this is going to set up a point that we want to make with regard to the apostles and Christians, and that is that judgment is going to be used and done by the New Testament. The standard of judgment will be the words of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking to the disciples here before going to they're going through town in Jerusalem. They're headed over to going down the Kidron Valley and up in chapter 18 to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he'll be arrested, the prayer there and the arrest. And so they're going through town here, John 14, 15, and 16, and 17. He's talking to his disciples. Look at what he says with regard to the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, "For if I go not away, the Comforter," which in the context here is the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you, but if I go, I will send him unto you. And he, when he has come," look at this, "will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you behold me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged." So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do three things. He's going to convict. He's going to show what is righteous. He's going to make judgments. How is the Holy Spirit going to do that? Look at the context. How is he going to do that? We'll keep reading. "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth." The way the Holy Spirit convicted people was when the apostles went out and preached the truth. The way the Holy Spirit showed what the standard of righteousness is when the apostles went out and preached the truth. When the Holy Spirit made judgments about people, right and wrong, it's when the Holy Spirit went out and preached the truth. Right before this, look at chapter 15 and verse 26. The Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth, 15:26. The Spirit of Truth, 16:13. When the Holy Spirit revealed the words of truth to these apostles, that's how sinful, and it's illustrated in the book of Acts. When sinners were convicted of sin, it was because the apostles were preaching the Holy Spirit's words. When Paul preached before Felix of self-control and righteousness and judgment to come, he laid out what it meant to be righteous. How did Paul do that? Through the words of the Holy Spirit. And then judgment. When the apostles made judgments on people, you're living right, you're living wrong, that was done through the words of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, there's divine judgment. In the second place, well, before we do that, that judgment then is recorded on the pages of the New Testament. So turn with me to James chapter 2. And by the way, this James chapter 2 and verse 12 is not the judgment day. It's right now. Right now, we are to speak and to do as men that are judged by a law of liberty. Underscore that in your Bible because this is very, very important. We're going to bring this in later when it talks about Christians judging other Christians. What's the standard? It's the law of liberty. It's the New Testament law of liberty. That's what we're using to make judgments about other individuals. It's not our own opinions. It's not what we think and feel. Remember, I already said earlier, with regard to Romans 14, when we're making judgments about people, we're not making judgments about our own personal opinions. It's what the Word of God says. And so that's how we speak and that's how we act. As men and women judged by a law of liberty. What you're holding in your hands right here, this is the standard of judgment. Not what's in my heart and what I think and feel. This is the standard of judgment. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they make judgments. And from our standpoint, all of that is regarded and recorded in the Word of God. Here's a second area of judgment. And most people that I talk to don't have any problem with this second one. The apostles. The apostles, when they took the words of the Holy Spirit with them, they judged people. Do you remember Matthew 19:28? Jesus said, when I go back into heaven, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, how did they do that? Through their preaching and teaching. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. This is a very important passage, again, that's going to get to the heart of the matter here in just a minute with regard to Christians judging other Christians. This is very important. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. This is where some people have a problem. In a local church setting, here's where some people have a problem. I don't like it when the preacher makes a judgment, or I don't like it when the elders make a judgment about something. Okay? I didn't really like what he said in his sermon about a particular class of people out here in the world. I found that offensive when the preacher said that. Or the elders talk to someone about something in their life, okay, and they really don't have a right to be making those kinds of judgments. So one reason why I want to spend some time here in 1 Corinthians 5 is it has to do with a local congregational setting, okay? The one that in my life has been the biggest problem among people, okay? Especially members of the church. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, there's a man in the church at Corinth who's having a sexual relationship with his father's wife. It's fornication. He shouldn't be doing that. They were allowing it. They were going on with it. Nobody's setting anything. Kind of like today. Don't ask, don't tell. You know, we don't want to, don't want to offend anybody. So I'm not going to say anything. I know he's sleeping with his father's wife, but, who am I to judge? You'll hear that today. Paul comes and says, you are puffed up. That, what I just said there and the way I said that, that is actually verse 2. It's this attitude that, hey man, you can't touch me. I can live any way I want. And I'm fine. I'm fine with what I'm doing here in Corinth and how I'm handling this matter. They were puffed up and they did not mourn that he, the fornicator, that had done this might be taken away from you. He should have been disfellowshipped, which involves a judgment, as we're going to see in a minute. But they didn't do that. So look at verse 3. Paul says, I verily, being absent in body, but present in spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that has so wrought this thing. This is apostolic judgment. Paul said this is wrong. And again, most people I talk to say, fine. Have you ever had this happen? Have you ever heard somebody say, well, if you were Jesus, you could tell me such and such, but since you aren't, you have no right. Or if you were Paul, then you could tell me such and such, but since you're not Paul, you don't have that right. People will do that. Well, here's Paul. He's making a judgment, and they should have withdrawn fellowship. Okay? Now, it's not just Paul. We're going to see. Come down with me to verse 12. The brethren at Corinth should have been making a judgment that this man was living wrong. They should have been taking the word of God and used it as a judgment. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? That's people out in the community and out in the world. Do not you judge them that are within. Underscore that in your Bible. Paul said you are supposed to be judging people that are within the group. When somebody is not living right according to God's word, in this case fornication, you are supposed to make judgments about that person inside the group. Very, very important passage. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But apostles made judgments using the word of God. Here's another area that most people usually don't have a problem with. Judgment in any kind of civil or legal matter. We're talking about law enforcement, okay? We're talking about the judge here up by the courthouse, okay? In the first century, there was Roman law, there was Greek law, there was Jewish law, and there was all kinds of laws in different nations around the world at that time. And Jesus recognizes, for example, Matthew chapter 5, that you might have to be taken to court. Well, there's law. Paul, in the book of Acts, stood before several Jewish law councils. There are laws of the land, okay? And they make judgments all day long. Can you imagine going into a courtroom and you've been convicted of something? You stand up there and you say, excuse me, sir, judge not, lest you be judged. See how far that'll get you. Or you get pulled over for speeding on Wilma Rudolph and the guy pulls you over to roll your window down, license, registration. Do you know you were speeding? Judge not, lest you be judged. People don't do that. You know why? They know, first of all, they know that is a proper judgment. And they know it's not going to get them anywhere. But they know that there is a place for judgment. And they recognize that. And they concede to that. Now, some people argue with the officer, and he still writes them a ticket and so forth. And they go to, well, if you want to protest this, you know, show up on such and such a date. And they'll protest it. But typically people aren't saying, judge not, lest you be judged. They realize that there is a realm of civil and legal judgments, okay? It's this last one that people have a problem with mostly. Most people, most folks realize, okay, God can judge. And the Apostle Paul, he can judge. And judges that sit in courtrooms, they can judge. It's this one right here that people will often bring up this matter. Judge not, lest you be judged. When fellow brethren and fellow Christians in a local congregational setting, or even with family members or brethren in other congregations, and there are several Bible passages here that talk about Christians making judgments. Okay, Christians making judgments. In fact, in the very congregation where turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. In the very congregation where there was division, Paul said, I want you to be of the same mind and the same judgment. We need to be making similar judgments, the same judgments in a local congregation based upon the Word of God. And I told you before in chapter 5 verses 12 and 13, Paul said, do you not judge them that are within? That's an implication. They were supposed to be doing that. And after he wrote that letter, they actually did judge that man. Okay? And it worked. Because when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 7, that man repented and made a change and came back to the Lord. So what we call church discipline in that case actually worked because they made a judgment and they said, you cannot be in fellowship with us. What kind of person needs to do this? Look at chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. The spiritually minded person takes the words of God and makes judgments. For the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the Word of God that's recorded in the New Testament. For they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual, look at this, judges all things. He takes the Word of God and uses that to judge. And then look at this, and he himself is judged of no man. That doesn't mean, Jeff, you can't come up and judge me. That means I am living according to God's Word, and there's nothing that a man can use against me in judgment. That's the latter part of that verse. And is judged by no man. Again, that verse could be taken out of context. But when I am a spiritually minded person, I'm going to use the words of the Holy Spirit, verse 11, 12, 13. I'm going to take those words of the Holy Spirit recorded on the pages of the New Testament. I'm going to use that to judge all things. And I'm going to live according to that. I find it interesting that two places where Paul speaks about the importance of judgment is in a book where they were supposed to be judging and they were not. And Paul helped them to correct that. So yes, Christians are to take the Word of God. In fact, brethren, we need to be, verse 15, we need to be the spiritually minded person who takes the Word of God and judges others, ourselves and others with that so that we can be right with God. The parent, the preacher, the elder, the concerned member of the church, we need to be the spiritually minded ones. Because we want to be right with God and we want others to be right with God. So before I go on, I want to say two things about this particular matter of Christians judging others. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. We just need to solidify this in our mind that Paul is saying, Christians, you need to be making some judgments. Because we're hearing so much today, no, don't do that. Look at verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge what I say. Underscore that. Paul says you need to make a judgment about what I'm saying. Later in chapter 14, he says, chapter 14 and verse 37, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things that I write unto you, that they are the commandments of the Lord. You're going to have to make some judgments about what I'm saying. I am saying what Christ wants me to say. And spiritually minded people accept that. People who are not spiritually minded are not going to accept that. But notice he says, you need to make a judgment. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13, with regard to, and this is in a specific context that is not applicable today because it's in a context of women who are prophetesses. We don't have that in the church today. But in that specific context, in order to determine and make a judgment about, is it good for a woman to be praying with her head uncovered? Look at what he says in verse 13. Judge in yourselves, is it seemly or proper or appropriate that a woman pray to God unveiled? Look at what he says. Judge in yourselves. You make that judgment. We're supposed to make judgments. The word that we've been talking about all this morning, the noun, krisis, or the verb, krino, it just simply means to separate, literally means to separate or to make a distinction. You take the Word of God and you separate. You're working with someone, even if it's in your own life or in the life of somebody else. You take the Word of God. You know what it says. And then we're going to separate truth from error, right from wrong, fact from fiction. We're going to separate. It means to distinguish or separate. The word judgment today is often in a negative connotation of someone who's almost like, well, they're putting someone else down. That's not what that word means. It means to make a separation, to make a distinction. And so we take the Word of God and we make a distinction between right and wrong, truth and error, righteous behavior, unrighteous behavior, and so forth. That's what judging literally means. And that's what happens in a court of law here in town. The judge, he's not up there just willy-nilly making up rules. He already knows the law. Here comes a case before him, and he's distinguishing and making a difference between fact and fiction. What happened and what didn't happen? Did the person actually break the law or not break the law? You're making decisions and separations and distinctions because you want people to be fairly treated. Okay? That's all it means. But these passages up here show that Paul expected them to make some judgments. Look at chapter 14 and verse 24. When there were prophets in the local assembly, the unbeliever who comes in is judged by all. The unbeliever came into the assembly at Corinth. The prophet is up there revealing the Word of God. Listen, and the unbeliever is judged. How was that done? When the man was standing up revealing the Word of God, the unbeliever sitting there going, oh, wow. My life is not right with God. I've just heard a message that tells me I'm not right with God. The prophet was speaking God's word, and that unbeliever was judged. And that's what happens today, brethren, not because I'm actually prophesying. I don't have that gift. But when I take the Word of God and I'm preaching the Word of God, anybody sitting in the assembly is being judged by that. All of us are being judged by that. And when the elders go work with somebody about something in their life, if it's not right, they're making a judgment based upon the Word of God. Okay? So let me mention two things before going on. First of all, don't fall for the judge not lest ye be judged tactic. Don't fall for that. Because often it is taken out of context. When it is presented falsely, don't fall for that. What happens is we fall for it and then we just keep quiet. Well, he just said, judge not lest you be, I'm just not going to say anything. Don't fall for that. Because you know what? That's exactly what the devil wants. The devil does not want anybody to be judged with the Word of God. He doesn't want you to open up your mouth. He doesn't want you to say anything. Don't fall for it. What happens, brethren, is when we go to take the Word of God with somebody and help them, yes, correct, correct them, help them, whatever word you want to use, we know in advance that there's probably going to be some negative ramification from that. They're not going to like it. Somebody's going to say something. I might get blamed for talking to them. Okay? So what we do is, I'm just not going to say anything. Do not fall for that trick because we are aiding and abetting the devil when we do that. Here's the second thing that I would say about this matter. When godly brethren, 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, the spiritually minded brethren in the church, they are really trying to live every aspect of their life according to God's will. When they take the Word of God, and they go to somebody else and make judgments about their life, listen, we need to support them in doing that and not discourage them. When the faithful Christian who's taking the Word of God is trying to use God's Word to make a judgment about a situation and help another person to be right, we need to support them, not discourage them. We need to support the gospel preacher who does that. We need to support the elders who do that. We need to support the older woman who's trying to teach the younger woman and help them. We need to support the Bible class teacher that sometimes has to do that with a student, especially as they're older. Misbehaving, unruly, or something like that, and the Bible class teacher is trying to help them in some way. We need to support the concerned Christian who does that, or the parent who does that. We do not need to discourage them and take the side of the one needing the correction. And yet that often happens. People take the side of the weak one, the unfaithful one, the one who's not living right, and they get on the preacher or the elder or the member of the church for going to them. Well, why did you have to go talk with them? I've heard that many, many times in the local congregation. I'm saying only what has happened before. We need to support faithful brethren who are trying to use God's word and not misuse God's word in any way to judge a situation. But if we say things like, well, why did you have to this and why did you have to that? We're not. And you know, all that does is discourage them. And the next time a situation comes up where we need to try to help somebody, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Look what happened to me last time. So keep that in mind, please. Let's not discourage our brethren from taking God's word to judge others, because we're all trying to get to heaven. The preacher is supposed to do that. The elders are supposed to do that. All of us as faithful brethren are supposed to be doing that. Titus 2, the older women are to teach the younger women. Now, when an older woman goes and does that, and somebody doesn't like it, we don't get on the older woman for doing it, or the elder, or the preacher, or the Bible class teacher, or the parent, or the concerned member. So let's be supportive in that matter. Let's do it ourselves, and let's support others who are trying to do it. So as I close this morning, I just want to talk about quickly some characteristics, five here briefly, about proper judgment. Number one, make sure that we're using the right standard. We're not going to use our opinions or traditions. We're going to use the Word of God. So when the elders go talk with someone about attendance or their marriage or anything, they're not going to just sit there and go, well, what we think and feel. They always take the Word of God and they say, look, brother or sister, your life is not matching up with the Word of God. I try to do that from the pulpit. Okay? It's got to be based on the Word of God. So when we go to someone and we're making a judgment about their lives, we're going to use the right standard. It's always the Word of God. Number two, I would call it the right timing. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. We're not going to judge others until our lives are right. Okay? We're not going to try to get the speck out of the brother's eye until we get the beam out of our own eye. So let's be right. Let's get our lives right with God, and then we can go help others. Number three, the right motive. We're not going to do it for some self-serving purpose or to vaunt ourselves or make ourselves look in some way, but we're looking out for the best interest of others. We want them to go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. We want them to go to heaven. That's our motive. It's not to embarrass anybody. It's not to run roughshod over anybody or prove that we're right and they're wrong. None of that. We just want everyone to go to heaven. Number four, the right approach. Let's go with a humble, kind, loving approach. We have a radio program every week at the beginning and end. There's the announcement where Warfield Boulevard, where we speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Speak it in love. We're not going to mistreat someone. We're not going to run roughshod over anybody. But with patience and kindness and nice words, we might have to be firm. We might have to be pointed or plain. But it's a humble, kind approach. And then last of all, and this is the part sometimes that gets left out, what if we're on the receiving end of the judgment? What if we're on the receiving end of the judgment? Well, we need to have a humble acceptance of the truth. And what happens is, like I said before, the weak person, the one who's not living right, they're weak in some way. They reject the counsel, often of the older, wiser members. They reject it. They bristle. They harden up. They get offended. And they stay in their situation and they don't get out of it. And then it gets worse when other brethren in the church come to their aid rather than the one who was trying to help them. It just gets worse. And the person never gets out of that situation. They bristle with pride. And there were times right after Sherry and I got married, had our first child, hadn't been married very long, just one child. And Dad would say stuff to me about parenting. I was like, get out of here, man. I know what I'm doing. I didn't like it. Hey, been there. Been there, done that. On the receiving end of judgments. Okay? And I can tell you that the initial response is, put up a wall and ugh. But as I've gotten older, I look back on those things and I realize, hey, not only was he right, but I appreciate that and he had a lot of wisdom. Some of it was coming from God's word. Some of it was coming from just old age and wisdom. But it's easy just to put up a wall. We need to have the right reception. And that is, we need to humbly receive the judgment that is being given to us, especially when it's just simply judgment from God's word. So as we close this morning, I appreciate the extra time. No, it is not wrong to judge others. Matthew 7:1 is talking about a certain kind of hypocritical judgment. That's wrong. But other kind of righteous and proper judgment is scripturally right. We need to avoid two extremes, either some sort of unrighteous or improper judgment and no judgment at all. And really, it's this latter, it's what the devil wants. In fact, I see it all the time. I see it in Hollywood. I see it in sports. I see it in religion. I see it in politics. Everybody's fine. Don't judge anybody. The devil is using that weapon today, and he is getting a lot of mileage out of it. And there's a lot of people preaching it. Don't judge anybody. We're all fine. We're all God's children, which is true. But what they're trying to say by that is, all lifestyles are fine. And the Word of God teaches otherwise. So this no judgment at all is exactly where the devil wants us to be. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. We've got to stay balanced. It is not wrong to judge others. We must judge some things in life to be pleasing to God, and our judgment must always be according to God's Word. And when we make judgments about ourselves and others, just remember that one day those judgments will face the judgment of God. So let's be accurate and right when we do those things. I hope that that study has helped us. The elders asked me to do that study. And it's always good just to be reminded in a local congregational setting of that particular study. I realize that the topic itself can be negative. Just take the English word judge. I'm going to talk this morning about judging. I wouldn't have to say anything else and you're thinking, well, this can't be good. Just the English word itself kind of has a negative connotation. And so we just sort of stay away from things that are negative, but it's very good to understand what the Bible teaches. There may be someone here this morning. If your sins have not been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, I will make a judgment based upon the Word of God. And that is, you're lost. You're in sin. Your sins have not been washed away in baptism. You're lost. And I would encourage you to have those sins washed away in baptism. That's a judgment that is based upon many, many Bible passages of Scripture. If you're a child of God here this morning and you're not living right, there's another Bible passage like James 5:19-20. The judgment is you're living in error. You're living in error, and you need to come back. That's a judgment based upon the Word of God. When I say those things, I say them in love and kindness. It's just the truth of the Word of God. So if there's someone here this morning in one of those two categories, if we can help you in some way, let us do that. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation. Let Him have His way. Really, isn't that what it's all about? Let Jesus have His way with us. Let His Word have His way in our lives. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?